You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So this morning, I want to come to you once again from the epistle. Which comes from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And I have a little bit of a preface before we get to that scripture. It occurs to me as we assemble here in this holy place, this place that's set apart for worship and teaching and fellowship, as we assemble here now and going forward, there are going to be times when what I say from this pulpit might make you uncomfortable. Is that news to anybody? There will be times when the words that I'm led to share with you might cause you to stop and reflect on maybe your life or your circumstances, whatever situations you find yourselves in. And you might find that as the messages are delivered over the next however long God has for us to assemble here in this place together, you might find that some of what I say just plain rubs you the wrong way. There may be times when it may feel as if I'm standing up here at this pulpit speaking directly to you, and I want to assure you that it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And as we say in the ministry, you might feel convicted by what you're hearing. That's a good thing. Now, on the other hand, there will be times when I give a message on any given Sunday going forward, and it might spark joy. It might evoke feelings of peace and comfort in you. You might hear something that makes you think about just how good God has been in your life, in your circumstances, in your situation. And at that moment, you might feel uplifted. And once again, it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit speaking into your life, reminding you of just how great and good the God we serve is to each of us. So whether you feel convicted this morning or whether you feel uplifted, I hope that through all of that, from the words that come from the pulpit this morning, that you will count it all joy, whether conviction or uplifting, because I promise you, as your pastor, the words that I speak today and always come to you after much prayer, much thought, much preparation, and always from the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and always through the interpretation of the Holy Spirit that works in me as He does in you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, as the source of the message, always, always, always. This is just the way that I operate as pastor, and as you'll see from our epistle today, it's the way that Paul operated as he pastored the many churches throughout the Holy Land and through Asia. Listen to what he writes. I'm in chapter 8 in 2 Corinthians, beginning at verse 7. He says, to the church in Corinth and also the church here in Shepherd, now as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. Well, what generous undertaking is that? What is Paul talking about to the church in Corinth? And so we have to back up a chapter, or at least to the beginning of chapter 8, and we see that Paul is appealing to the church at Corinth for them to be generous to those in need in their community and to those who are carrying on the ministry of the church. In short, Paul is fundraising. We have a fundraiser coming up, don't we? Paul is using in this chapter the churches of Macedonia, which is another community, not Corinth, which was much smaller, much poorer than the church at Corinth. And he's using them as an example in his message to the church in Corinth, as an example of sacrificial giving. He says in verses 1-4, "We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches of Macedonia. For during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For as I can testify, they voluntarily gave according to their means and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this ministry to the saints." Now, I have to stop there because I don't want you to get the idea that this message, this sermon, is about tithes, offerings, stewardship, or church finances. It's not. That's not the point of Paul's message. You see, Corinth's problem was that they just weren't generous. Even though they had ample resources to have a big impact on the ministry of the church, their issue was that even though they excelled in most everything else, in their faith, in their speech, in their knowledge, in their eagerness, those are the ones that Paul lists, even though they were excellent in most things, in this one area of generosity, they were lacking. So Paul's telling them that of all the things you're doing well, all the stuff you're doing right, all of that you're able to do is because of the grace of God. Why then, Corinth, are you falling down in the area of generosity when generosity also comes by way of God's abundant grace? So Paul says in verses 8-15, it's the rest of our epistle for today, "I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." Now, obviously, he's not speaking of monetary wealth, is he? No, he's talking about rich in the faith, rich in the spirit. "And in this matter, I'm giving you my advice," Paul says. "It is appropriate for you who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish doing it so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance, as it is written, 'The one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little.'" So Paul is saying, look, I'm not trying to tell you how to run your business, church. I'm not trying to get you to do something against your will, church. I'm just pointing out that your neighbors down there in Macedonia are doing a lot of ministry with just a few resources. And I hope you can get excited about the possibilities for ministry here in Corinth with all that you have available to you. Paul's saying, I'm wanting to bring out the best in you. You do so many things right. I want you to do everything to the best of your ability. You remember Jesus and his generosity, don't you? He was rich beyond worldly wealth, and he gave it all away for us. In one stroke, he became poor, and we became rich beyond measure, didn't we? So maybe our area here in Shepherd, where we need to find excellence, is not generosity. And this is Paul's point. He's picking on Corinth's lack of generosity, but depending on where we are, generosity may not be our problem. Maybe our area that needs work is something else. Maybe we're excellent in generosity, but maybe we're lacking in hospitality. Maybe we're excellent in hospitality, but we're lacking in outreach to our community. The point is, do we even know where we need improvement? And do we know that we should always do everything that we do as if we were doing it for Jesus Christ himself? And do we recognize that our ability, our strength to do everything is a gift by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit? It's not our effort, it's are we willing to be vessels of the Holy Spirit to accomplish the purposes of God in this community? And so Paul sums it all up for Corinth like this. So here's what I think, Paul says. The best thing you can do right now is to finish what you started last year and not let those good intentions grow stale. Your heart's been in the right place all along. You've got what it takes to finish it up. So get to it, finish it. Once the commitment is clear, you can do what you can, not what you can't. The heart regulates the hands. This isn't so others can take it easy while you sweat it out. No, you're shoulder to shoulder with them all the way. Your surplus matching their deficit, their surplus matching your deficit. In the end, it's going to come out even. Nothing left over to the one with the most. Nothing lacking to the one with the least. We don't have to do it all. We just have to do what we can to the best of our ability. I have said for years in ministry that I am not an accountant. What I am is a church economist. There's a difference. We only do as much ministry as we have resources to do. And we have as many resources as we need because God provides to do the work that God has purposed for us. Where do the stumbling blocks come into the church? The stumbling blocks come in when we stop seeking God's purposes in this community and start trying to create our own agendas. It may seem really simple when you think about it, but that's the case in most of the churches in this community. If there's a community of people that the church is not reaching, this church, any church, in Shepherd, it's because we're not paying attention to what God wants us to do in Shepherd. We're too busy doing what we want to do in Shepherd. Take that with a huge grain of salt, because sometimes I know I'm preaching to the choir, but there are times, I think, when we need to stop and we need to take a good look at what God is trying to do in this community and make sure that we're lined up with it. Like Paul says, we don't have to do it all. We just have to do what we can to the best of our ability, because we're the church. Our mission is to make disciples for Jesus Christ, for the transformation of the world. And we do that by joining in with what God is already doing in the world and by using our abilities, those given to us by the grace of God, as excellently as is humanly possible and always for His honor and for His glory, not for our own. I think it would be a good idea for us going forward, especially as the board meets this next third Sunday of the month in July, be a good idea to take a look at what we're doing for this community, what other churches are doing for this community, and see if we can't find some common ground to make sure that we're in line with what God would have us do, and to make sure we're not just off on our own somewhere. That board meeting should be a meeting for the whole church, because you all have ears to hear and you all have eyes to see. You may see some things that are going on in this community that could use the impact of the church, even a small church like Shepherd Methodist Church. Are there needs out there that aren't being covered by anyone because nobody's paying attention to what God would have us do? You've got a few weeks to think about that. Third Sunday in July is, what, the 21st? Is that right? So you have till after church on the 21st to take a look around and do your own analysis. Does this church have an impact on this community for the kingdom of God? Or does this church just kind of serve the few of us who come through those doors on Sunday morning? I don't know, but we sure need to look at it. We can only do what we have resources to do. That's the economy. But remember, God's economy is not the same as the economy of the world. God has infinite resources, and He wants to impart them to His people who are doing His purposes in the world. Are those the purposes that we're following? Because if we want resources to do ministry in this community, we'd better be doing God's work and not our own. Why would God provide if we're not doing the work of the kingdom that He has for us to do? And for that matter, why would anyone come through those doors who's not already a member of this church, if this church isn't about doing the work of God in this community? We're not a club. It's not a social gathering on Sunday morning. We're the church in motion in Shepherd, Texas. As I said, whether you feel uplifted or convicted, that's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.